we're going to get acquainted. We're going to get a little warmed up, and then we're going to tell the story together. But before I get started with that, I just thought I'd like to tell you a couple things about storytelling, because some people have kind of odd notions about what it is, you know? And to me, storytelling is not something that you have to be specially gifted to do. Any of us can do it. But at the same time, it can be done better, always. So it helps to know what makes a story work and how to tell. And that is something that I can help with as well. Today, we're going to tell a story from the Bible. And I got this inspiration to pair up these stories with hymns from Pete last week, who is so interesting with the way he analyzed the hymns and carols according to the way the text told the story. Then the music again told it in a very special way. And that is kind of the way we're going to do our storytelling today. Do you guys know who J.R.R. Tolkien is? Mm-hmm. You know, he wrote The Lord of the Rings. He's great.
Oh, that guy that wrote The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yes, right. Fabulous. Fabulous writer. Well, and pretty good insight into storytelling, because this is what he says. He says the themes of fairy stories, which he wrote, reflect the gospel. And his point was they move from joy to danger, but the worst of all circumstances produces the best of all possible outcomes. So when you have, in a fairy story, for example, you have the heroine who is put in a sack and hung up from the ceiling by the giant, she's probably going to get eaten alive, as all her sisters were. But no, that doesn't happen. And there you are with the eucatastrophe. This eucatastrophe which we experience in the crucifixion. Jesus is killed. He dies on a cross. Everybody's dispersed. It's a total mess. And then lo and behold, what happens? He rises from the dead. And we're left with the resurrection. Another eucatastrophe. To some people, it seems like it. To some people, it seems like, oh dear, now what am I going to do? To the disciples, it seemed like that, didn't it? But that's a different day. We're going to tell that story a different day. Today is the day when we get to tell the story of the angels. And we have a wonderful volunteer who's going to play a little for us to set the scene when the time comes. And before we do that, I want to pass out a few Bibles, because we're going to read the story first. And then the problem will be to figure out how would this story take place if it was happening in the here and now, today. Who would these characters be? Where would they be? And how would it all transpire? So let's get some Bibles passed around here. There's one. I'll get some more. Okay, just to. I'm going to get a Spanish. You have to go out and get it. Because I didn't bring it in. Now, there's, I got the message. I've also got the, well, how many? Four translation version. So if anybody wants to read a different version, tell me.
I have to get going on.
You do already? Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry, Jeff.
Hey, tomorrow.
Yeah, all right. All right, already thinking about a part for you, so you be sure to come.
Yeah.
All right, now.
Spanish one. Where is the Spanish Bible?
It's out it says La Palabra. All right, we're going to turn to Luke 2, 8, verse 8. And I'm going to read the Message version while you read along in yours. And feel free to mark if you need to passages that you think are key. Now, here we go. We're going to look at the original transcribed version of a story that was surely told to begin with. You know, many of the stories in our Bible were told before they were written. And they're part of a huge oral tradition, very powerful. So now we're going to retell it, and I'll read it starting with verse 8. There were shepherders camping in the neighborhood. They had set night watches over their sheep. Suddenly, God's angel stood among them, and God's glory blazed around them. They were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that's meant for everybody worldwide. A Savior has been born in David's town, a Savior who is Messiah and Master. This is what you're to look for, a baby wrapped in a blanket and lying in a manger." At once, the angel was joined by a huge angelic choir singing God's praises. "Glory to God in the highest heavens. Peace to all men and women on earth who please him." As the angel choir withdrew into heaven, the shepherds talked it over. Let's get over to Bethlehem as fast as we can and see for ourselves what God has revealed to us. They left, running, and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Seeing was believing. They told everyone they met what the angels had said about this child. All who heard the shepherds were impressed. Mary kept all these things to herself, holding them dear, deep within herself. The shepherds returned and let loose, glorifying and praising God for everything they had heard and seen. It turned out exactly the way they'd been told. All right. Now, when we think about the story, let's try to identify somebody who could be telling it. Come on, move in the circle. You can leave if you feel you need to.
I'm sorry I'm late, and I just realized I forgot my glasses, but I'll try to participate.
Well, you're not going to need them. Okay. You're not going to need them very, you know, you just for reading this, just to make everybody feel like they were part of this text analysis. So, I use this when I talk to pastors, and we have a pastor over there, so I have to be good. Is there any other pastors present?
Yeah. You've got to ask around here, you know.
I know it. It's pretty dangerous. Got a dangerous place. All right. There's one right there. You can take that. It's open to the right place. But you don't need to read it because we're going to talk about it now, and it's a story that we're going to tell many times tonight. We have to figure out the first thing. The first question that we need to decide the answer to is, who is telling this story? Who's the narrator?
I think it has to be a shepherd.
Do you? Okay. Why?
Because it's such a bright revelation. Swept away by it, that I don't know, I mean, anyone can imagine something, but.
Well, it's for sure that the shepherds were one of the storytellers, that's for sure, because the text tells us that they did. they told everybody the story. First they went, and then they saw, and then they told. So, yes, they told everybody the story. But who told the writer the story? Where did that come from? I'll tell you what, I just had this idea this afternoon. When I was the pastor?
Pastor alert.
Pastor alert. Oh, yeah, thanks. Look down here. Look down here at the bottom, and let's see if we played it this way. Hi, Pastor. Down at the next to the last paragraph on verse 18, it says, Mary kept all these things to herself, holding them dear, deep within herself. We were talking about this after Bible study today, you and I. And I went back and read this story, and I thought, Jiminy Crickets, I betcha that Mary was the one who told Luke this story.
Oh.
Why wouldn't she?
Oh.
She was the mother, surely. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And
oh.
Given when it was written, she probably wouldn't get full credit. After all, as we were also talking about after Bible study, you inspired many conversations this morning, was that what we were thinking, you and I were talking about this, was that people don't assign credibility to a story in this day and age, in this culture, where it's all about who you know and who you're related to, not that you're pastor so-and-so. Sorry, guys. It doesn't work that way back then. It was about your father was my second cousin. How we are related is what is important. And even to this day, remember what they were saying about all the trouble they had in Iraq, the soldiers had in Iraq when they went in? Because they didn't know the culture, and it was a culture based on relationships. And they couldn't even speak the language, much less claim a relationship with anybody. So that's what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with a community of people that know each other, or if they don't know each other, they better pretty much get acquainted and find out how to know someone else. Now, since that's the situation, and since Mary's the narrator, let's ask a couple other questions. If this were happening today in a similar culture, where do you think it might happen? Something we know. Iowa. Excellent. How many of us know Iowa?
A field of dreams.
A field of dreams. All right, we got to move to one that a place that's a little more commonly known than Iowa, believe it or not. Because you didn't raise your hand.
I don't know much about
you don't know much about Iowa, you see? We have to pick a place everybody is familiar with. All right, what do you think?
Holden Village.
What a brilliant idea! All right, let's have it happen here. Excellent, excellent. All right, it's happening at Holden. It's happening in a culture where relationships are more important than degrees. Is that the case at Holden? Now?
No.
Is it?
I think so.
It's a good question. I'll sit with it.
Yeah, I wouldn't just say straight up yes.
Can you explain to me how that works? Because this is my first day here, so how
does it work at Holden, you mean?
Yeah, if relationships are important and you're not related to anybody here and you don't know anybody here from before.
Oh, that's not true. I met you coming off the bus, and the first thing you told me was, Don Coffey told me I was supposed to go to your session.
It was Nathan and Imelda, too.
See, there you go. See, now you're getting there. All right, see? And what did you say the other day, Anne? You were saying, oh, one of the marks of the Holden culture is that if you're out in the outside world and you run into somebody, you say, I knew you at Holden Village. I knew you there.
And Anne came up to me on the boat and introduced herself, and that made me feel kind of special.
Were you wearing that?
You don't remember that, probably, but no, I wasn't. I bought that today.
Okay.
Did she think you were Holden or heading to Holden?
I think so.
Yeah.
So.
She didn't talk very long.
I don't know.
Okay, so this is good. This is going to happen at Holden. All right. We don't have shepherds. We don't even have sheep up here. So what have we got?
Deer.
Deer. All right. So what are children. why are we out in the who's out in the middle of the night with a deer at Holden?
Backpackers.
All right. It's the backpackers. Backpackers out in the woods with a deer. Very good.
Are they insomniacs?
Now we're getting into motivation. Why are they out there? Good question.
Looking
why?
At stars.
Looking at the stars. All right. That's one good reason. Another good reason?
In the hot tub.
In the hot tub. Excellent. Excellent. Okay. Any others?
Communing with nature.
All right. Are there any relationships?
Definitely.
Ooh, all right. What kind?
A hiking partner, you know, you share that struggle and you have that lifetime bond together.
Great, great. Do you think that might have been the case for the shepherds back then as well? Are we being true to the story? Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I
think so.
Are we talking about credibility?
No, I'm just checking.
Oh, that
to make sure that we're they had bonds too. Yes,
sure.
They did. Of course they did. So this is good. All right, we have the backpackers. All right, and they're out in the woods, and it's night, and they're looking at the stars. All right, now, how did Mary and Joseph happen up to Holden?
The census.
Did they come up to get counted, or did they come up to get away from the county?
They came up to escape the counting.
Escape the counting. All right. So, very good. You know, I understand that in August, Holden has people coming from the Hispanic communities around the United States. Isn't that right? All right. So what if they were Hispanics? And what if they were perhaps not legal?
They're
undocumented.
Mm-hmm. And, what if it was at a time when Holden was filled?
Mm-hmm. Right? Go to the ballpark.
They're in the yurt.
Is it yurt here?
Yeah, that I was there this afternoon. It's kind of hot and stuffy, but it was very clean. there you go. They're in the yurt. Is there a manger in the yurt? What would the baby be in if the baby were here?
Sleeping bag?
A sleeping bag. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, perhaps.
If you go to the deer, I've been here when they've dropped the new ones right beside our lodge.
Oh my goodness. So there might be little baby deers
right
out there too? That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, all right, now we're getting a good story going here, I think. We've started with where we are. It's always good to start with your place when you're telling a story. Gotta know where it's happening. Holden Village. When is it happening? When's the busiest time at Holden?
I think
August.
July.
Okay, let's
July.
Have it be August. Let's have it be August. It's a good time. A lot of very interesting people get born in August. On the 25th of August. Actually, it didn't really happen on the 25th. We all know that, right?
Yeah.
Didn't really. I mean, of December.
It wasn't necessarily December either.
Wasn't it? It wasn't.
Well,
so.
We didn't have December.
Does it matter? Should we have it? Should we pick another day? A lucky number? Somebody want to pull a number from the
14th.
The 14th. 14th of August. All right. 2009. And we have a couple arriving in the village, and they have to go to the yurt. There's no room at the village, anywhere else in the village. And they come on the last bus, and there's probably a lot of people not paying any attention to them. So most people don't even know they're here. Why isn't anyone paying attention? What is everybody doing? Well, at that time of day, they're probably hiking, they're at a session. What else could be happening?
Napping.
Ice
down
cream.
In the pot shop, over eating ice cream. We're pretty busy here at Holden Village at 1:30. Is that when it comes in? When does the bus come in?
12:30. That last
30.
One you said?
Yeah,
comes 12:30. In at 3:45?
Yeah.
3:45.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're
then,
really.
Yeah,
we're not.
Everybody's out of here.
Nobody's
then,
around.
Yeah, ice cream
okay.
And
so who registers them? Tom Ahlstrom?
No, registration's closed.
Registration's
not
closed.
Yeah, that's the whole. They're not registered.
They're not registered. So they just keep going. They keep going till they find that yurt.
That's right.
And they move right in. And they're kind of in a hurry, right? Because why?
Because she's going to have a baby.
Mary's just about ready to give birth, right? Okay.
Somebody tell this lady what a yurt is.
It's a structure that's kind of, I mean, it has a wooden, it's kind of round, and it's a very heavy canvas. It's very well braced so that it can withstand snow. But
it stands up high. It's outside the ballpark.
Yeah.
It's based on the portable homes of the Central Asian people.
Is
there you go.
Is that something that's been put up recently?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Take a walk out
to
the Mayo camp and take a look at them. It's like a big eight-sided tent.
Okay. Central Asians came up with the idea, made them out of felt, and they can move them around.
So that's where Mary and Joseph have to stay.
Yeah, okay. And now we've got to get to the really hard casting part. The angels.
That's hard to cast?
Well, maybe. Maybe it's easy. Why? You think it's easy? Okay, tell me. How do they get this message?
Mm-hmm.
At Holden on August 14th, 2009.
I thought the angels were the backpackers.
No, they're the shepherds.
Oh, okay, I got the angels and shepherds.
One's in the bathrobe.
All right.
What about the ranger?
The ranger could be bringing the message from the angels, because the ranger probably has access to another dimension. through his electronic devices, whatever, his emergency devices. He must have some kind of a radio phone or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so here we are. We've got a radio phone coming in. And
some really large birds around, too.
And llamas.
And llamas?
Yeah.
Really? Llamas? Come on in! Come on in, my friend! Move over! We're just about finished telling the story.
They're not wild. They might be talking. They could be talking llamas.
Oh, you know, the coyotes.
And the coyotes, they call to each other.
Now, this is good because the backpackers.
You could be hearing words from some of those creatures out there.
And the backpackers could be so taken with the star gazing, and they're so fatigued that, of course, when they hear the coyotes and see the llamas, they are transformed into ethereal, transparent, and extraterrestrial messengers, heralds, in other words, right?
Who got transformed?
Transformed.
Who got transformed?
They are transformed.
These backpackers.
The backpackers.
No, not the backpackers. Llamas and the coyotes. That's one possibility. The other possibility that I was thinking about was that it happens through high tech. And we get the message from
satellite.
Yeah, satellite.
That's so less romantic.
So
it's not so romantic.
Could that be like an extraterrestrial UFO?
Well, like, you know, in the native tradition.
Or,
you're one of the backpackers. Yes, and you are the lead backpacker, and you.
I know the way.
Yes, you do. You know, you have the eyes and ears that can translate what no one else hears or sees, and this is what you see. Glory to God in the highest. Peace to all men and women on earth. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Great.
Okay, and that's our hymn, which is right here. And now that we have that all set up, here's what I'd like to do. We're going to do a little preparation before we tell the story. We're going to get settled, put your feet down flat on the floor, and close your eyes and just get in touch with your breath, get grounded. And I'm going to go through the story as we have just decided it, telling it to you. And as I do this, I want you to vision yourself in the story playing one of these characters, all right? Well, Luke, I don't know if you'll remember this the way I tell it, but it's the way it happened. We were desperate, Joe and I. We used the last bit of money we had to get away from the census. We got on board the Lady of the Lake, and we went up Lake Chelan. When we got to the dock, lo and behold, just as I had been promised, there was the bus waiting for us. We got on. We didn't speak well the language of the people at Holden Village, but we spoke well enough so that we found there was no room there. For some reason, the bus driver had not listened to instructions and had gone down anyway and picked us up. So here we were in the middle of Holden Village, and it was strangely quiet that day. I was hardly able to walk. Joe helped me along. We followed the trail. We were hoping we could get perhaps to a meadow where I could lie down. And then we came to the strange building. There were steps. Joe carried me up the steps and lay me on the cot. And it was there that I gave birth to little Jesus, Jesus. Now, later that night, we were visited by some very excited backpackers. They came in right at the same time that a herd of deer arrived and surrounded the yurt. There was brilliant stars that night all over the heavens. And these backpackers said they had just heard a beautiful, beautiful story of a little baby born in this faraway place, a baby that was to be the king, the Messiah, the one we were to call our Lord and Savior. I was stunned. I did not expect visitors, not at this point, but we were happy they were there. And they bowed down next to little Jesus. And Jesus was sound asleep. And then they turned around, and as they were leaving, they began singing the same song they said they'd heard the angels sing. And so I heard them telling this story all over the village. And the next day, you may be sure, we had plenty of company. All right, now we're going to do a couple of exercises just to get into the mood and the tone. And we're going to ask a couple backpackers to go to the, let's see, well, which scene do you want to act out? Do you want to act out the backpackers and the angels? Or do you want to act out the meeting with Mary and the backpackers and Joseph and the baby? What do you think would be best? And we've got to have some animals too. So, which scene do you think?
I like the angel scene.
The angel scene?
I vote for that one.
All right, I'm glad because we have special musical accompaniment for that. Clary is going to play Clary, I was thinking this would be a nice thing we could use as repetition in the story too. It's always good to have a little repetition. And so if we associate this with the angels, we could bring it in at the end too. And then the angels' presence would be around the yurt as well, okay? All right, so let's have you come over here. You can be the angel. Go ahead, just sit down right there. And, or you could stand up if you want to, whatever you're comfortable doing. Okay, and I'm gonna move these chairs out of the way. Backpackers, he's our lead packer, and
he had
a very good insight.
Bus driver.
Oh, you want to be the bus driver? All right, that's good. Okay, you're the bus driver. Right, another backpacker. Who else? Okay, thank you. Come on. You're such a good backpacker. All right, and three backpackers. All right. Deer. Okay, deer. Now you can be over here and then you can run out and there and stuff. All right. And are we going to have any other incarnations of the angels besides the deer?
I want to be an owl.
Owl, okay. To the trees, wherever they are. Any other?
I thought the deer were the replacement for the sheep. I didn't think the deer were the replacement for the angels.
They follow the backpackers to the...
The backpackers are going to have a vision of the angels.
Yes.
And the angels will appear they might seem like deer at first, and then they're actually...
a bipoint.
And he's the one he's in charge of that vision. So he's going to be giving us that vision. All right. Now we have Joseph, Mary, and the baby. Okay.
Can I be a deer?
And
you
want to be the deer? I thought you were going to be somebody up at Holden, but that's fine. You can be a deer too. I'll be the only Holdenite at Holdenville.
I'll be the innkeeper,
the registrar who has.
You be the registrar.
Refuse. No room at the inn.
Sorry, we don't have any room. Yeah, that's what I was hoping you'd be. Okay. What?
Need a coyote.
You?
Okay, you'll be the coyote.
They're enough deer.
Okay.
I'll be a coyote back here.
All right, now.
I'm probably like this. I'm like the 5.5.
Oh, my God.
down. You've got your backpackers. You can't be sitting down.
I thought they were stargazing.
No, you're walking around looking up at the stars. Maybe you're lying on the grass or something.
No, I'm in my tent. I can see the stars.
Okay, well then get down on the ground in your tent. Okay, I'll be the star. Okay, go. Holden, you got to be up the mountain, right? Okay. And you're not Boar yet, remember?
No, you're not Boar yet.
Okay.
The auxiliary deer or something.
Okay. You can be a star, too.
Okay, we're on the bus.
Okay.
Oh, I can be a star.
All right. Well, welcome to Holden Village. I mean, we didn't think anyone was coming today. I just happened to be down here with the bus checking out the A-frame, and so do you have registration to?
Well, we heard it was the big week for all the the Hispanic community to come up to Holden.
Yeah.
And,
okay. Well,
and,
there are quite
people, maybe they're we could come to.
Okay.
You know, it's a little I don't know.
All right. Well, we better
maybe,
get.
You know, it's a little,
all right. Well, we better
it's
get started.
Time to kind of get out of town.
Oh, what's going on? Did you need to come up here?
Well, it's just would be better, for us if we weren't.
Did you ask him
where's
the
bones?
Careful, no, come back.
My poor wife, she's pretty far along, at any moment.
So
even here on the bus. So don't go too slow.
No,
not too fast.
No Espanol.
No big
Okay, so, I'll take you on up there, but I just want you to know that the village is full, but what brings you here?
Well, we feel like we need to get away from the outside, I'm sorry, Mary, we're hoping to find a place to stay,
Okay.
So,
get to the village.
All right, so here we are, and here are all the instructions about being here. Now, I tell you, there might be a place that you could stay if you walk on up the road here, there's a little ballpark, and they built a yurt out there, and you know it's pretty full, but go check it out. And so there you go, and good luck to you.
Thank you.
Okay. So I just brought this couple up, and they're Hispanics, and they're not registered. I sent them out to the yurt. So you might want to go out there and see what's going on. I don't know.
Are you sure they're not registered?
Well,
I better go check.
Okay.
I'll check.
Okay.
Mary and Joseph.
Oh, you are.
Yeah,
oh, Maria and Jose.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
To see you. But
Maria.
I have a question to ask. I don't have reservations.
It was a last
minute.
It was kind of last minute, you know.
Yeah. Kind of do you have ID?
I honestly, you know, we left in such a hurry, I think maybe we left it behind. But, you know, we are who we are.
You don't speak
very good English, do you?
Well, we're learning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But there doesn't seem to be a place for you, but... I suppose out behind the yurt, you could, if you'll be all right.
You don't have something, you know, I mean, anything, we'll be okay. I mean, it's not like we have, you know, just like a baby on the way. And maybe could we go through the dining room at least first, maybe?
I have a kind heart. I'll just turn my back on you.
Okay.
Great. See. Okay. All right. Okay. Now, now you're going to be at the
yurt.
But you can't go in the yurt. You have to be outside the yurt. Yeah. All right. Well, this will actually work out better because then all the animals can come and worship Jesus too, right?
Maybe under the yurt.
Yeah, they're all in the chair. They're all reclining in their chair.
Yeah.
But she could give birth in the yurt, and it was like unstated, you know. I mean,
okay.
You know, considered to have been an accomplished fact by the time the.
That's good. Well, since we're all so in character, I'm going to ask you to play a little.
But then we go sit outside.
Just sit out for a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to do the last scene now? Or do you want to all just imagine we've already done the last scene and go around and do the last part of this?
Where's the
after
baby
our refrain?
Wait,
we're going to have this refrain.
We
want to
see Jesus.
No, the baby Jesus is here.
We want to see Jesus.
That's right. All right, we've got to visit Jesus. Okay, let's go.
There we go.
They're going to come. They're going to come visit now. They're all going to come visit.
We're
going to
be wide-eyed. Wow! Wow!
The baby.
You wake her up. You
this
up.
Is what the
her
angel
up.
Said.
Yeah.
I'm going to perch here.
Careful, not too close.
Not too close.
Coyote,
it's a coyote.
I know. Get a little closer. I'm telling you, that coyote looks real hungry.
I have
mirror.
Oh,
mirror. Mirror. Oh, yeah, some of the presents.
Mirror.
Those are
the
wise men.
Oh, no.
Okay. Yeah.
No,
nice.
I have a candlestick.
A
candlestick
we need a little light,
yeah.
I'm trying to worship Jesus.
Yeah,
13
watt.
Is it a boy or a girl?
So where did you come from as a little boy?
Boy?
Yeah.
What did you name him?
Jesus.
Here's a camp stove.
A camp stove. Oh, thank you so much. Okay.
And a headlight so you can see.
Oh, a headlamp. Okay.
Would you like some gorp? I have
a little if you, you know, we haven't eaten much today. Thank you.
Here's some fresh water from Holden.
You're going to tell everybody what we've seen.
So, first, how did you find out about us?
We saw this big star. We saw this outside
and the angels.
And
the birds.
And they grew us.
The owls.
More coyote.
Coyote.
Something miraculous was happening. And we came to see what it was.
Wow.
We should go back and tell everybody.
We're going to tell
everyone.
We're going to tell everyone.
Thank you for all these presents.
All the good news. All the good news.
Maybe everything will be okay.
Everybody.
The baby slept through.
Yeah, that baby is the peace.
I want you to tell me I'm the reporter, and I've come to find out about this couple and their baby and some of the stories that have been going around. They even got down to Chelan and Wenatchee, got on the radio, etc. So now I'm interviewing all of the major players here.
You're not from Herod, are you?
No, I'm from immigration. I'm just a reporter.
Yeah,
okay.
From Mopolis.
The first person that had contact with this couple was the bus driver from Olden Village, and so I would like to ask him to tell me what happened. What happened here?
Well, I don't really know. I only had something to do with them driving them up to the village. I didn't have anything else to do with them. So, what do you want?
Well, how did they seem to you? Were they suspicious in any way?
Well, they came without any reservations, and that's kind of unheard of. And August 14th is a high season, and I was surprised to see them. You know, I told them we didn't have any place for them to stay. But they said they had to get there because there was urgent.
And
well,
did you have any idea what that urgency was?
I think she looked like she was going to have a baby. Yeah.
So we were going to have an illegal.
Oh, I don't know.
She would not be illegal. The baby wouldn't be illegal, of course, being born in this country. But the parents, goodbye.
I don't know anything about that.
All right. Okay, I'm going to go to the next person who had some contact with them. Can you tell me what happened here?
Well, we were simply full.
Mm-hmm.
I heard from the bus driver that maybe I should check it out, or I thought I should check it out, because you can't be too careful. On the other hand, when I met them, I didn't think we should probably let them be in the yurt, but, you know, I've got a kind heart. I just turned around and did not want to see anything more in terms of if they're illegal aliens.
Would you say that your way of doing things is to see no evil, say no evil, hear no evil?
I don't want to rock the boat.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to hurt poor people.
Well.
But officially I can't do anything, you know.
I see. Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good. We are now going to have to interview the couple. Sir, you are the father of the baby. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, would you like to tell us what?
Well, we
came up to Holden, and we heard it was a very nice place, and very safe, and with very nice people. And of course, we didn't have any health insurance right now.
I understand so that. I also have heard from other reports that this might not be your child.
As far as I know, I'm willing to say that I am the baby's father.
But, sir, your neighbors back in Iowa said that you were pretty upset with Mary to the point where she was almost, well, out the door over this pregnancy.
That was only because she forgot to renew her birth control. Because we don't have any health insurance.
Now, Mary?
Story's getting
on the spot, I realize you are indeed, and yet I am obliged to ask you for your version of the story.
Which part did you want?
Well,
you don't understand English.
What are you willing? All right, what are you willing to tell us?
Well, I'll tell you this. I came up to Holden, and it was very lonely at first, and stuck out under a yurt, and I thought everything was kind of at the bottom, and then all these people came with their gifts and their love, and we made it back. Mm-hmm. That's my dream.
Excellent. All right. Thank you very much. We're happy to know that one of our communities has come up, stepped up to the plate, and done the right thing. That's always a good way to end a story on the media. Now I'm going to switch. Now I'm going to go to Luke. And now I'm going to let the animals speak. The angels tell us their story. The backpackers. All right. Lead backpacker, tell us what happened.
We were on a long journey, and my companions, who respect me well, knew that I would lead them all the time in a good way, and what I would always do was make sure my fellow backpackers were safe and sound. And one went to his tent early and was resting already. And I always, before I get my rest, I meditate and I listen to the animals. I hear the wind in the trees, and I feel voices as the wind comes through, and I can tell if the animals are speaking with anger or if they're speaking to each other. And I saw that they were hearing something that was going on out by this village that we knew that we were getting close to. So it ended up, as I stood there and listened to the animals, and I felt the wind come through very softly, that I knew there must be something that's going to be happening. And as the night grew darker, there was a bright light out by the baseball field, and it ended up, it was down the trail from where we were, and it just drew me to that bright light.
Now, did you hear any music?
I heard something in the wind that was very soothing, and it made me draw me toward that light even more. So So as I heard that music and that bright light in the sky, I woke up my companions, mm-hmm. and they ended up, I said, let's go see what is going on. There is something that I know in my heart is going on, and mm-hmm. I want to know and see and be part of that.
And what did you hear?
I heard animals all over. You know, besides the wind, there were owls swooping around and coyotes and a big deer that had eight of those, you know, points on.
He looked like he was waving to us somewhere.
And what did he say? What did he say? Did you know? Could you tell what he said?
Well, he said something's going on down in the village.
Uh-huh.
And so I guess we just decided to follow the animals down there.
And Owl, what was your message that you
glory
heard?
To God in the highest, and on earth peace.
Oh, wonderful. And how about you, dear?
Hi, dear.
We sort of had the sense that there was sort of a big deal going on at the, I guess they call it a yurt.
Mm-hmm.
So we went, and it was interesting because there were animals that, you know, normally I sort of avoid. Like, there was this hungry little coyote and owls, but you were all there kind of focused in on the event, and there was a mother and a father and a baby, and there were a bunch of backpackers, and we'd seen them around, and they seemed to be exchanging things. Like, the backpackers were giving things to the baby and to the parents for the baby, and it was very peaceful. And you know, usually the forest isn't always that peaceful. It's kind of jungle out there, but for this moment, it was sort of like it was very peaceful, and you know, it felt safe.
Very good. How about you? What was your message? What were you telling the backpackers?
My folks and I, we came to the meadow this night. More of us than ever come together. Sometimes many of us gather, but most times only one or two at a time. This night we were all there, all my folks, and all our neighbors from the forest, the big-toothed ones and the ones with hard feet. And there were some two-footed ones there, too. It was like the legends we tell sometimes. Before the toothed ones ate any blood. I have never had a night like that before. And then, the largest owl flew down in front of the full moon. And it became all light. Was owl, but it wasn't owl. And the sky lights, they moved. They sang songs more beautiful than the wolves on a winter night. He came down amongst us. And then went down to where the two-footed ones live. We knew we were to go. And there we were, all together. With no fear, no hunger, funny little fawn of the Two-Foots was there. And we felt the light of the stars and the light of the sun and the warmth of the meadow all at one time there on that night.
You are the final backpacker.
As I lay in my tent, often backpacking, I heard owls that moved through the forest all through the night. That night, there was a special energy in the birds, and especially the owls. They kept moving from one location in the camp to another one where we were camping. And there was an excitement. There was a different tone to their hooting. And it seemed to be a happy sound. And our lead backpacker aroused us and said, "Look, there's animals all around. The owls, there's deer, there's coyotes, there's other animals. There's something special." He said, "Look, there's a star." And he said, "This is very, very special. We need to go. It's begging for us to come." So we followed him to this place near the village of Holden. And we came to this couple with a babe. And he bowed down and told me and the rest of our backpacker to bow down, and that this was a special presence of God in the world that we should always remember.
Now, Jesus, if you could speak, what would you say to all of us that were present at that time of your birth?
That God really loves the world, and that His creation is good, and that I was born to bring it together.
And you did. Let's take hands. Thank you for the joy of the story, the pleasure of being ourselves and finding ourselves in it with you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very well done.
We need to go on the road with the show.